What I wanted to find out from your mother was if she knew how to make the palmetto stem baskets.
She knows how to make it, but on the end, when you putting the final finish on it, you use your fingers a lot, and since she's crippled with that arthritis, she can't hardly do it anymore. That's what kept her from making it anymore.
Did she show you how to make those when you were growing up?
No. Like I said, she was busy taking care of the kids. She taught us a little bit, but she was too busy taking care of the kids and trying to do that. So most of the time, it was my step-grandmother was the one that had time. That's who I learned it most of. But sometimes we take time and we ask her if we're doing right, and she said, yes, you're doing right. I know I made some before, but it just got where I haven't done it so long that when you haven't done something so long, you get forget.
Does she know how to do the coiled baskets that you make here in Arts and Crafts?
Yeah, she's got some in there. She's the one that taught me that.
No, she taught you.
Uh-huh, she taught me that.
Ask her how she learned to do that.
No, but she might have done it.
Baskets,
yeah.
The only
basket she knew how to make was a palmetto stem. Then when she got with Lena Billy, she still lives in Hollywood. I don't know if you know her. Her name is Lena Billy. She's one of the old ones, but she still make baskets, but her eyesight is real bad, and you know, she still make good baskets. It's just that she missed the stitches a lot, I have noticed that. And her name is Lena Billy, and they live in the area, Palm Beach County. That was before the Hollywood became reservation. Mm-hmm. And they used to go over there too, and that's her first introduction she got making that coal basket. And when she got over there, they used to have a lot of grass over there. They used to pick them and make them, and they had told her that they make the basket like that, and people buy them. So she said, well, she wanted to learn, that she learned it from her when she was a young girl when she went over there. We don't know who taught. No, but they're not. Yeah, they're not. Huh?
What do you mean? Yeah,
they're
young. They're like the ball.
She has an aunt married to this guy named Henry Jumper. She said he had a brother that he's dead now, but he met her, I guess, doing a corn dance or somewhere, and married her and brought her back. That's what she used to do. So when they used to live in Deep Lake, and they didn't have top of grass. So what she did, she went and pulled what we call black grass. They grow kind of swamp. She went out and pulled them and was making baskets. And she said that her mother had taught her that when they were around in Palm Beach County, mm-hmm. that they used to make some and sell some. So they wanted to learn, but it was a wrong type of grass. So one time from Deep Lake, they said they come on a train up here. Like they said, they always come up here to buy stuff and things like that. And she said that's when they got up here, that lady, Lena Billy, recognized the grass up here. She said, this is the grass that we pull. So then when they looked around, they had a lot of them in this area. So they start pulling. And like she said, they used to go to gopher hunt, you know, and you know those turtles. And that's a main part of dish too. So when they did that, she found the grass and she said mm-hmm. that she wanted, this is the right type of grass. Mm-hmm. So that's where she learned it from her. She said her mother learned it from, I mean, Lena learned it from her mother.
Mm-hmm. Were they still sewn with the same crochet thread today? Mm-hmm. Or
was
it
different? But she didn't
know what to do. She didn't know.
安全上那个完，那不太能make的嘛，也一直是我那个。哦，she said that the thread they used was just a regular sewing the thread you use for your clothes, but what they said they double up a whole string, then run it through the beadwax so it would be strong. Then that's what they were using till. I have seen one basket somewhere. I think it was Edison Homes somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I seen one basket made with that kind of thread. It was an old one,
uh-huh.
And she said that then later on, that style of thread came on that they start making them.
What were those baskets used for?
No. The palmetto stem was a part of the household, like used for a kitchen, those kind were like for sale. That she said that her one of the men's up in Fort Lauderdale or somewhere had a store, that he was selling it. So when they started making it, it was mainly for sale, to sell them. It's when missionary lady come in and used to buy them from them and would take them. Not only that, like dolls, they would make dolls and she would buy them and I think she would go to upstate or convention or whatever. She says she used to go somewhere every so often, and she would take a whole bunch of them and would go, and she come back, she would sell them all. Then she have more money to bring back and buy some stuff from them. It was mainly for, so she can buy off mm-hmm. of them and take them and sell them. Mm-hmm. Then, but she would order them what she wants. And she said that's why when she found out, she learned how to make that because she found out you could sell it, But the other palmetto stem was mainly for shifting corn, and when you grind your corn and
mm-hmm.
and you have never seen them done when they be fixing it.
Mm-mm. No.
Stuff that I tell you who still does. Louise Doctor still does that.
She does.
Yes, shifting corns and mm-hmm. roast corn and what we use for softy.
Uh-huh. Why aren't those baskets made anymore? Are they? Are the palmetto baskets made today, or are they?
If they ask for, somebody ordered them, they make them, I think. But they have a lot of orders. Those lady, older ladies, like she said, they are kind of got arthritis in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes them some time to finish it. So sometimes they make some, but you have to order them before they make one.
Mm-hmm. And so,
She said the only time they used to make basket, palmetto stem basket, was when they need them and use them. Because during the corn dance, when they get ready to go, they have to make a lot of stuff to take them so they can have it to prepare food.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they usually do that. But when they used to make some dolls and some jackets and skirts for sale, then they find out that you could sell basket, core basket. Then that's
mm-hmm.
when they start learning how to do that. But it was that lady that Lena Billy, she's the one that taught them how.
Mm-hmm.
She's still alive. She lives in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get a chance to ask her to see her.
Yeah. That kind of answered what I wanted to know.
I was just wondering one question. Deaconess Bedell, what religion was she?
Catholic. She says she's a Catholic.
Catholic. Okay, yeah, I was wondering.
That. She's, I forgot the name of that church. How did they used to name that church? I think it starts with E or something. I forgot.
Episcopal?
I think it is the church that they used to call.
Yeah.
But when the Indians go, they used to go around her house in Everglades. There'd be a whole bunch of them would go, and she would just come out there and just pray. And
they just have a service right at her house. Right there.
Whenever they show up.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time. Whenever they show up.
I see.
Which is, like they said, they travel, and a group would come.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one claim or something go through there, and another claim would go through there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember we used to go there,
mm-hmm.
and she would you know, pray and
mm-hmm.
Read the Bible or something mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
She said she used to have a church here.
Oh, in Immokalee?
Uh-huh. I remember there was one time there was a church here. Then the church ladies had donated a land here one time to the Indians, but then after the association, I think a woman, church woman association or something. But after they died or something, they said they just turn around and turn it back to the church, that land. So that's what they was talking about one time, about that once it was donated to Indian, and somebody got in with a smart one. Well, Indians didn't know, you know. They always figured.
Yeah.
So
but there is no church here now.
No, I don't think that church is here now. Because it used to be, they said church was located somewhere in the Horta Winn-Dixie. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So it's no longer that. What was it after all that? Winn-Dixie was it? What was it after?
Auntie.
Church kid.
Yeah.
Now what was it after that? Church kid, what do you think? Way back then, she used to have a chiki built, you know, for the service. Then later on, that's when she had it built up
mm-hmm.
there. And later on,
mm-hmm.
I don't know where the church is now.
Did your mother ever go to any of those services?
I am so though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they used to go a lot, you know, because it's something new to them. I think that's what it attracts them, that they like to know
what's going on.
They said she said they told them they can go, but as long as they don't join.
Uh-huh.
England,
the
elders? Just that, I am with England.
Uh-huh.
I am with this.
Who said they shouldn't join? The elders of the tribe?
Yeah, the elders.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no,
would
the elders, those kind of the leaders.
Would that be against the old, the Indian religion, or Indian belief?
Well, they was afraid that it's the religious and the education and everything
mm-hmm.
else coming from the outside
mm-hmm.
would, in other words, would corrupt their people, that they would,
mm-hmm.
Like she said, what they are today, that's what, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's why they didn't want to, you know, they want to keep them kind of close, tight on them, that they won't get out of hand. But
mm-hmm.
like I said, it's going to happen, so I think that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well,
I
just go ahead. If I wanted to ask you about the place of women in the tribe, do you think there's equality between men and women?
What do you mean by that?
Well, for instance, who rules the family? Is that who is considered to be the head of the family?
Mm.
The father or
the men?
The men?
Yes, the men is but up to this day, I think it works both ways. Younger generation meet halfway and halfway,
mm-hmm.
but to just like any race, the man's supposed to be the leader. Then there's a lot of men that let the women do the leading. So I think that's happened a lot too, that a lot of women are kind of, I noticed the ladies that I work with, I meet with, I've been around with, associate with, that a lot of women does in front of the whole household. Or, and sometimes the man, woman's a main supporter. I think that's what...
economic support?
Yeah, it's like they don't have to work and pay for most everything. They got some that work but don't care if they work or not or something, but they've been married. Then we have some men that stay home, take care of the kids, like a call them house husband.
Well, do you think that on the reservations, if you live on a reservation, who controls the money or the land?
The money, well, overall is a council chairman's place, but his place is to control it, maintain, control it. Why it's controlled by the tribal members through the representatives. Then the representatives, each reservation have representatives to represent what their budget is and what they need in the budget. They come out with the budget every 6 months. And then, but it's mainly what the people are demanding for out there. And like, let's say cattle owners want to. So and so, and then well, cattle owners have their own. The ones that lease the land have their own. They pay so much a year for feet for how you call it, grazing. So they have that. So they work with that. But as far as the land developers and like that, then it goes through the board. We have land, what they call land use. Then that it has to come back from. They have land use committee, and they are the one that sees what they need, and then also the what they need of the reservation. Each representative look into it. Like our clinic need this, or a tribal office, our field office, not tribal office in Hollywood. Like here, field office, we need a. So and so, or then it goes in the budget. But mostly representatives have to get that done. But it's the man from the tribe, people that live on the reservation, and tribal members.
And do women hold offices on tribal council?
Yes. We both represented here, board and council here. I'm the board, and Nancy is a council. Then. Brighton, they had a councilwoman, but they voted just past May, you know, with the head election. So there's two men from that board and council, both men, and Hollywood is the same thing, and Big Sabbath is the same thing. So we had some, there was another woman in there, and a board of directors, but she lost election. But see, Nancy and I don't run for election. We were appointed to represent our reservation, so we don't have to run. Just in case one day that when it comes where we have to have that, then reservation resident has to run and get it. But other than that, I guess we still represent them, tell them that's the people in this community says that for some reason, we want somebody else to represent us, and they have a right to.
Right.
But they feel like they feel like somebody on this reservation should do that job or qualify for that job, man or woman.
Right.
Then it'd be up to community members here.
Have you ever had a woman chairman of the tribe?
Yes. Betty May was one of them. I think she's about the only woman ever hold a chairman, chairperson for that. So among our tribe now, it's equal to everybody to run officers who want, you think, can, because you'll qualify for it. Right now, since we had elect a new president, our new president now we got was an administrator of health, Indian Health, Seminole Tribe Health, and okay, he had to step down from his position in order to run the president, because the president is strictly one job. So when he had to hold his office, then we have to look for somebody else. I was one of the person that was involved with putting this. We could advertise for that job, but we had two Indian ladies was administrator over our clinic, like Brighton and Big Cypress. We had two ladies were administrating that. So we felt like one of them was qualified, had the knowledge or was capable of doing that job. So we select her to do it. Then our chairman asked us, whoever you think is qualified for that job, he said, I'll back you up. So when we went and asked him, he says, this person is, we think, is capable of running the health ministry. He said, okay. He said, you know, he said, I felt like she could do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she's we got a woman in there. Mm-hmm. And also like a housing executive director, she's a woman too, because we had, so far as I think it's men been holding it, but one lady was holding it one time. They had to ask her to resign for misuse fund or something. Mm-hmm. That it happens a lot. In Georgia. I mean, that's why I don't like to mess with government money too much, you know, that funding too much, because you can just make one little bit of mistake and you can. I have seen a lot of people have to resign on kind of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened, but. As far as the Seminole Housing Executive Director is a woman, Health Administrator is a woman. So mostly
in tribal government, then you have equality as far as being able to run and get elected and all that.
Yes.
But before you had tribal government, like before the tribe was incorporated and all, did you have a group of elders that led the tribe?
Yes, and most of them was men.
Men.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's when, before it was organized, that's when I remember my mother or my aunt or some of the ladies would speak up, and the men just to tell them that let the men make a decision or let the men have the say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
the men would really have control over the tribal government.
But
at home, would the women be mainly in charge in the home?
Some, and some not. Some of
them.
Because as me, as far as managing home, raising the kids, then I had to work. But mainly, it was left to me. My husband was one of those. That's why I say, if I say, let's go jump in the lake right now, he would say, if you want to, you know, he's the type, my husband is the type of that. Like, I said, well, I'm going vacation. Where you want to go? He says, wherever you want to go is all right with me. Dinner, I say, what you want to eat? I say, whatever you fix is all right with me. You know. Then I got so bad where I used to think I controlled everything. And I did control everything. Then one day I realized that like a house payment, car payment, he never know where his important papers was or anything. Like, well, I was raise up, take care of home, and I got carried away, you know, when he left me there. He don't know where his socks are, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll cook food and put it in a plate and put it in front of him, you know. But now I try not to do that, but that's why I say I have seen women do it in my tribe, because the man tells them to,
right,
whatever they want to do.
Should we ask
what
is
that?
Turn down? Is that coming through the tape?
I don't know if it is or not, but I don't think it would be much at all.
Okay. Yeah.
What, the noise?
the radio. I didn't know if that was coming out on the tape or not. It'd be hard to cut it out, but
it can be cut down if you want to.
Why don't you just say just a little bit, and then it won't come out. It's just hard.
Yeah, I know that thing will pick it up too.
I could hear it. That's why I thought.
I was going to say maybe.
And take it back to my doctor to get it fixed for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been wearing it. That's why. Well, I don't know.
Well, you know, Ethel, one thing I was reading about in the history of the Seminoles is that in the past, the women really were the not the controlling force, but the center of the family, and that. And this is still true. I think if you get married, like the man usually goes to live with his wife's family. Is that still true? Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's really like your clan is passed down from your mother, not from your father.
And you get married with another clan, they go live in your clan. Then, but now today they live both now. But mostly like my mother's. You had to go live with your wife's son, and then when you get to get separated, divorced, only place is for you is you take your clothes, whatever you got, your clothes, and you leave. You don't take nothing else. You don't take the children. But today is different, you know. Like sometimes we have to go through the system where the mother is not fit to have the children, the father's not. Then a lot of times the children goes to the grandma on the mother's side today.
Mm-hmm.
We try to, you know, if the grandmother says that she's capable or she's able to take care of them. That lady we was talking about, that Lena Villa, the one that my mother was talking about, she raised quite a few grandchildren because she took them because she wanted to raise her grandchildren.
Do you feel like you're being influenced by all the attention that's being given to women's rights in society today at all?
I don't think so. Because you don't hardly ever hear a Seminole woman using that, I have my right or I have a woman's right. You don't hardly ever hear that. Once in a while, you know, we said something, then guys might make a crack in a meeting or something. It says, woman's lip or something like that. And then I say, what? Lips, you know. then we laugh it out or something. But really, I don't think it has influence at all. But like I said, I think it's from our experience. Like me, what I learned from my experience, I don't want nobody else's children or my grandchildren go through that. Maybe I'm making it too easy for them, but I feel like I don't want them to suffer what my children have to suffer going through, and they were tribal members. That's why I say I feel like every tribal member, young, old, whatever, baby, is entitled to what's coming to them. They should have their share instead of like, my children and I were kicked out a long time. We run around till we finally got together, and there were quite a few of us married to non-Indians, and we had this thing going till I think we fought everywhere till we had to, like, Indian Health Service paying our medical bill, hospital bill, which they wouldn't do it, but they would pay. My husband, they still don't pay his today, but all my children are entitled to. Before then, none of us would get. And then Indian man marries a non-Indian, and she was entitled to all that medical bill. And it just back then, I would say Indian man was controlling it, or what when they made that rules or whatever. I heard there was no woman sitting on it when they made those bylaws. Our charter bylaws, and which I think was back then, but it had changed a lot.
When did the law change?
And somewhere in early '60s, because that's when the ending for us were married. Okay, this is what happened. I would have put up a fuss or something, but there are hardly no non-Indians from the reservation in my time. But lately, they leased the lands, they got trailer parks over there in Hollywood and all that. Then one of them was my sister, and there's other ladies that had bought their home, living on the reservation. Then when they got married to non-Indian, they got a letter from the chairman and the president signing saying for them to move out of their home because they married non-Indian. That's what brought that up. Then after that, we picked that up. We carried till then the health thing got in. Then one day we set a vote on it, election, to say that fellow tribe members would say, yeah, if they wanted everything continued the same way, no. I mean, yes. But if they want to change those rules, we had already put them in referendum or something like that.
Referendum.
That we had put it on saying that what we want, and we're entitled to this and that. Okay, they are. Then we had a vote on, and the yes one. Then they felt like there still are some health board members. Well, I'm a health board member now, but I wasn't then, but they're health board members. We had, some was on there saying, well, if you went and married a white man, a black man, a Puerto Rican, a Mexican, let him pay your bill. That's how they used to say. Even a woman, now I'm talking about a woman, they don't think that they got young children, they're going to grow up and they're going to marry somebody else because some of the kids going to start going to college or out of reservation. Okay, that's what it came in. And so they felt like it wasn't fair and it was misinterpreted or something. We had another voting again and it was same again. So after that, everything started turning.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the turning point was.
Let me stop.
Okay. But now I'm just...